is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dad, for the introduction. And you're listening to the Christian War Room, and we're actually talking real war today. And we're looking, we've got a look back into history. Yesterday, we had a talk about by Bill Warner, so that was part one. You can, if you've missed this talk, you can check it out at ChristianWarRoom.com. And it should be talk, I think it's 151, I'm not sure. It's either going to be 150 or 151. And then obviously one number before this, the title should be there as well. You can check it out on the website, not that hard to find. Islam, yeah, and the Crusades. A lot of bloodshed, a lot of horrible stuff were committed. A lot of horrible stuff was committed in the Crusades as well. There's no doubt about this. But the cause of the Crusade, is it right, is it not? My opinion is that the response was necessary, that Europe was under threat. And history has proven that the caliphs, you know, after the Crusades, tried several times to get hold of Europe. And the last siege of Vienna is only going back to the 1700s. So we are not talking that long a time ago. It's only about 300 years. And then Islam subsided and lost a lot of power. And I think these days it's raising its head again. And I think the biggest threat to Western civilization is Islam. I once heard a preacher saying that that Islam, or you know, the impact of Islam is already the judgment of God upon a nation who has abandoned the gospel, or upon nations who have abandoned the gospel. And when I look at Europe and I look at Bible-believing Christianity, it's gone down to a ridiculous amount. We are looking maybe in the 2, 3, 4, 5% range. There are not many churches left in Europe where the Bible is proclaimed. And on the contrary, we have got a lot of churches who, you know, worship the God of tolerance and are looking for some sort of ecumenical appeasement, you know, with other religions. And in doing so, are denying the Lord and Savior. You know, how can you have fellowship and how can you worship a different God? How can you worship a God who says that God has no son? How can you worship a God that says that, you know, Jesus didn't really die on the cross, but he just deceived all the people to make him believe that he died on the cross, but somebody else died there instead of him? That's in the Quran, yeah. I think it's Surah 3 somewhere. I'm not sure about the verses, but it's in the Quran. Check it out, and you can Google it, and you can come to the scriptures. So, I mean, this is a problem, and it's happening today where Europe gets overrun by people in the Middle East. For some strange reason, some wicked people are on full intent to destroy the Middle East, and we have got the result. We harvest of what's being sown. Now, what is the answer? Number one is there's a great opportunity. There's a great opportunity to get the gospel into the Islamic world. We can't sometimes only with great difficulty go into the Islamic world. And God has, you know, brought all these Muslims right to our doorstep, and it's our job to reach out with them with the gospel. And we can do this right from home without having to go to countries where we are hated and a threat of life all the time. That's one thing. The other thing is, I think it's a judgment. You get radical Muslims into a nation where people have given up God, and these people try to enforce their values on a people who don't want it at all. Anyway, the Crusades, were they right, were they not right? We had a bit of a discussion yesterday about this, but I think it's important to always bear in mind that politically it was totally justified. There's no question about it. There was an encroachment upon Europe. Spain was hammered like crazy during the time of the Crusades and after the time of the Crusades, hammered like crazy, but Spain would not surrender. We had battles in Greece, in Yugoslavia, some places like Albania, even today, are predominantly Islamic. When you go to Yugoslavia as well, there is a mix of Orthodox, Catholic, and Islamic traditions in there. Italy was done quite heavy, and they tried to get Vienna. And once, I think most people believe, once Islam would have had a foothold in Vienna, the rest of Europe would have fallen sooner or later. But people were fighting. People were fighting like crazy. Anyway, what is our future? Our future is, I believe, Jesus is coming back soon. And I think this is the last uprising before the coming of the Lord, that this religion is raising its head and fighting Christianity one last time through jihad, through migration. That's what Muslim scholars would call it. It's got a very defined aim, and the aim is to establish Islam in other countries and to make them part of the so-called Ummah. The Ummah is the land of Islam. And then eventually to take over. I think this is happening. We are seeing this in the process. And if it weren't for Jesus coming back soon, we would probably see within one or two generations that Christianity is a majority. And democracy, we can wave goodbye. Liberalism, you know, all the liberals who support all these people coming in and taking over. We can wave goodbye to liberalism as well. Feminism, forget it, you know, no chance. You'll be wearing your veil soon, and if you don't abide by their rules, you will be killed or you will be chastised so that you will submit. In the end, that's what the religion is all about. It's all about submission. All about submission. There's no argument, no nothing. You submit or you suffer. Again, we are preaching Jesus Christ. We're preaching him crucified. We are preaching Jesus Christ surrounding us with his grace and saving us through his grace. Nothing we can do, nothing we can do to add to our salvation. And through his grace and mercy, he has called us out and he has called us into his kingdom to be witnesses for him. And anyway, as the time goes on and we are sort of heading towards the climax, I want to just get this message out. This message is predominantly for Christians to just understand what Islam is, to not get the idea like some evangelical preachers even do this, where they say that Islam is pretty much the same religion as Christianity. This is within evangelical circles. When I hear this, you know, and this is me as a scholar who has studied a little bit of Islam and who studied the Bible very well. When I hear this, yeah, it just makes my my stomach churn when I hear this stuff. And yet there are people, you know, big people, congregations of thousands of people who make these claims, you know, that the Muslims and the Christians worship the same God. We don't. We don't. Allah is not the God of the Bible, and the God of the Bible is not Allah. There are very big differences in doctrine, very big differences in the ethos that is preached, a very totally different theology of salvation and any other concept within both religions. So, my friends, we need to understand where all this has come from. We need to understand how Christianity was built up. People were dying for their faith, and this was the seed of Christianity. People were dying in the Colosseums, and people looked and they saw how Christians were dying in expectation of being received by their Lord, and that is what caused revival in the very early days of the church. Islam is just a religion of conquest. You either accept it and you surrender and you submit, or you're going to die. And a lot of people did surrender, did submit. And then the next one is, once you surrender and you submit and you say the Shahida, you know, which is the confession of Islam, once you do this and you turn back, to your old religion, be it Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, whatever it is, you're going to be a dead man. So you're locked into this system. Okay, we're going to go back. We've got another talk by David. It's Bill Warner. And the talk is about, why does the church keep the victory of the Crusades a secret? So the victory, in my opinion, is we took the war, you know, as Europe, we took the war back to the world of Islam. And in doing so, we protected Europe, and Europe was in relative peace for 200 years whilst we were down there in Jerusalem and Israel. Once the time was over, it's interesting as well, it didn't take a very long time. It took less than 200 years after the Crusades that Byzantine was done, then the Ottoman Empire was established, and then it didn't take a long time until the hordes of the prophet of the East were at the gates of Vienna. That was sort of in the late, in the early 1500s. So horrendous times, and it's something which we have to bear in mind. There's a religion of conquest. It is not a religion of love or of peace or anything like that. There's been conquest all the way through. So it's worthwhile to listen to what Bill Warner has to say. You're listening to the Christian War Room. You can listen to this talk at christianwarroom.com. It's going to be talk 152, I think, this one. The next one is going to be 153. Previous one, 151. Okay.
700 years of attack, they finally destroy Constantinople. 16th century, the son of Tamerlane destroys temples, forced conversions. Two of his generals built two towers of human heads. Once again, you couldn't see over them. And then noble women, Hindu women, started the practice of sati, which was mass suicide, in order not to be sex slaves inside of the sultan's harem. 17th century, Jews of Yemen and Persia forced to convert, forced conversions of Greeks. The Zoroastrians are persecuted in Persia, and over 500,000 killed Hindus. 18th century, more Zoroastrian persecution, Jews of Jeddah expelled, Jews of Morocco massacred, Hindu persecution continues. 19th century, more forced conversion of Jews, Jews of Baghdad massacred, 250,000 Armenian Christians slaughtered in Turkey. Now then, in Persia, the Zoroastrians are completely annihilated. 20th century, over 1,000,000 Armenian Christians killed. 1,000,000. So you now not only know the number of battles, you now see the tenor of what's going on. You now know quality and quantity. Do you get the drift on how bad this was? Now then, the establishment doctrine is that we've already told you classical collapse had nothing to do with Islam. And indeed, Islam was a source of good, because the hillbilly Europeans lost their classical learning and the shrewd, smart Arab Muslims preserved all the knowledge in the Golden Age. This is what is taught in our schools. I maintain that it was annihilated by Islam. Okay, we've been talking about land here. I now want to talk about water, because classical civilization was based upon the Mediterranean Sea. Egypt was part of the Mediterranean world. It was not part of the African world, okay? Because to go from Alexandria, Egypt, to Nigeria was a lifetime. But you could get on a ship and be there in 10 days. Does this make sense? It was cheap transportation. You could haul a ton of grain from Egypt to Rome as much as it cost 75 miles by ox cart. This is important. I'm going to be driving back on the interstate after I finish talking here. I do not expect to be attacked or shot at on the way. I presume that the interstate is safe travel. It used to be that way under the Roman peace. That ended. The importance of naval work, as many as 500 boats could be in the harbor of Constantinople. The collapse of the freedom of sea. Let me show you something. Now, we know this from history, the data. Rome used to communicate with France by boat. After Islam, they went overland through the Alps. Why did they do that? There was no longer freedom of the sea. Here's interesting. The Black Plague was a known problem in the Mediterranean. It used to take 4 months to get from here to Constantinople because there was sea trade back and forth. Well, that was eliminated. So now then, when there was an outbreak of the Black Plague, it went from harbor to harbor, harbor all around here, and it took 4 years to get to here. Do you see the point I'm making? There was that little freedom of trade. As a merchant striking out to do business, you could wind up with your ship gone, your goods gone, and you're in chains, enslaved. By the way, this cuts down a lot on commerce. A brag. The Christians couldn't float a plank on the inland sea. What did this do? It isolated Europe and impoverished Europe. So, you know the business of the Barbary pirates? You know the business of the Somali pirates?
Same.
It is Sunnah. It is Sunnah, the way of Muhammad. There's a famous hadith which is repeated endlessly in which Muhammad awakes in a dream and he sees his jihadists sailing the inland sea. Islam always practices, where possible, economic warfare. Muhammad attacked caravans. What was attacked in New York?
Trade Center.
This, economic warfare. I am an admirer of Islamic civilizational war methods. They're superior to everyone else's thinking in war. They use everything for war. Everything, including the womb. This was an economic jihad. There were three, you've heard of the Dark Ages? Well, there were three Dark Ages. One in Europe, one in Turkey, one in North Africa. You weren't told that, were you? I wonder why. Here we see some ruins. What's the importance of these ruins? Well, they're up and standing. What happened to all the ruins in Rome? Well, the people who were still living there used them as quarries. They harvested them. The Colosseum remained simply because it was so big. What does this tell us here? If all this stone is still stacked up, there were no people. The invasion of North Africa was so brutal and so fast that it actually left in the harbor a layer of silt. Here's how that happened. North Africa used to be farmland, irrigated farmland. The Romans, clever men that they were, put along the roads in North Africa olive trees for shade and for keeping the road fixed for free. Because what would happen is you would bid on buying a lease on a stretch of Roman road in North Africa. You maintain the olive trees and the road, and you got to keep the olives. So the Romans got money from selling the lease, and then they got the road fixed for free, and somebody has a business making money. Is this clever or what? That all ended because the invading Arabs were not farmers. They were herdsmen. The people there were Christian. And so therefore, when the goat, the average Arab family would own 50 goats. They put their goats out into the fields of Christians, and the Christians as dhimmis had no right to protest. Between death and the erosion of the crops, there was this produced a layer of silt in the harbors. So that's how brutal, hard, and fast came about this collapse of economy in North Africa. What was left for a European economy? Furs, lumber, swords, and slaves. We're now really getting to one of the points where we don't want to know this history. Anybody here all real proud about how some of your ancestors were taken off a coast in Italy and then put into a harem in North Africa? And now you have children from that who are distant relations? You see, you may have distant relations in the Arab world you don't know about because 1 million Christians were sold into slavery. And by the way, the Venetians helped to do that. And another embarrassing piece of news is this. The Jews were very big in the trans-Mediterranean slave trade. Nobody comes out of this looking good. No one looks good. Are you also beginning to see, like, I don't think I want to know any more about this history at all? Okay? Are you catching on here? All right. Now, the other thing we're told that's so bad about Christianity and so pitiful about those poor Muslims are the Crusades. Who's ever heard this? Well, the Crusades, oh, that's so embarrassing. Gosh, you know, we got out of Europe. We went over there and invaded the Arab lands, and then we killed them and hurt them. And like, oh, I've heard preachers wallow in pity about how drastically bad the Crusades were. All right, first off, Islam, remember, destroyed 30,000 churches. The Jews and Christians were dhimmis. There was infinite number of brutality against Christians. Christians were fleeing the Middle East, and the Byzantine Emperor appealed to the Pope, help us, please. Now, this was a big thing to do, because the Byzantine Emperor, and the Pope did not get along at all. But these were desperate people. And what did the Pope look out and see? This is the world that he saw in 1100, the time of the First Crusade. Well, let's see. This much of Spain is Muslim, and we're getting our behind kicked on a regular basis. Oh, well, this Christianity's gone. Oops, this Christianity's gone. And look at all the battles in the non-Christian in the areas of, that are still Christian. Do you see the geopolitical problem that the Pope was facing here? This was not just some, you know, we'll saddle up, get on our horses, and go steal from them Arabs, which is what you're told. This is the political picture. But now then, let's do this. Let's look at a battle map for the Crusades. Let's be fair. I showed you the jihad map. Now here comes the Crusade battle map. We're almost done. That's it. Now we're told that the Crusades are the moral equivalent of jihad, and therefore we need to be ashamed and whine and cry. All right. The Crusades were defensive, lasted 300 years, and the last one was over 800 years ago. All the jihad was offensive, lasted 1,400 years, and it's happening right now. In all probability, some Christian is being slaughtered in Nigeria today. Now, is this moral equivalence? Why won't they teach this in a church school? So the ministers will stop, oh, the Crusades were just so terrible. No, the Crusades were one of the few times the church put steel in its spine. And then we apologize for it. Now then, let's go to the great benefits of Islam. We're told about two different golden ages. We're told about Andalus, the wonderful empire in Spain, in which there was multicultural peace, and Jew and Christian and Muslim all lived together in a golden age in Europe. You ever heard that? Well, here we go. This is the battle map of the golden age in Andalus. Now, while all this is going on, orders for slaves are being filled. The first slave order out of Spain was the Caliph ordered up 3,000 blonde virgins. They were shipped out of Spain. Battles are going on in which Christian knights die. But notice something here. The Christians won't quit fighting. This is going to take 700 years, and there's going to be nearly 150 battles fought.
Where was this Caliph located?
There was more than one Caliph at the time. This was a caliph in North Africa. Okay. Now then, looking at this, do you understand why when Isabel and Ferdinand were finally in full power, they told every Muslim in Spain to get out of here? They drove everyone out. Okay. My question for you is this. Was Andalus a multicultural golden age or a reign of terror? I claim it was a reign of terror, and it was not a golden age at all. And yes, there were a few people who had it good. The elites had it good. There were some rich Jews and rich Christians that had it good. Also, otherwise, there was constant war, slavery, and Christians had to wear robes so you could tell a Christian from a block away. And a Christian couldn't carry a sword, and they paid special taxes. And then we come to the question, why are we told this story? Now we have the Baghdad Golden Age. Here we go. This is all the battles that are fought during the period of the Golden Age in Baghdad. Now, not only are they as busy as they can be killing Christians, but they're also busy establishing the Sharia doctrine. They're also busy establishing the Hadith doctrine. And they're also busy in doing things like slave trading. You know all those exotic photo pictures you've seen of the harem? They're sort of pre-Playboy sexy, beautiful women in gauzy outfits. All of those women were Christians. Less romantic sounding, isn't it? The other thing that's happening in Baghdad is this. A new philosophy is being generated in which there is no cause and no effect. This turns out to paralyze the mind. Okay, those were all the battles that were fought during the mythical Golden Age. Okay, during the Golden Age, Christians and Jews were dhimmis, Christians were sex slaves. Here's one that gets me. During this Baghdad Golden Age, they evolved a philosophy in which there were no laws of nature and there was no cause and effect. I'm a scientist. We work off of two laws, the law of contradiction, does the data contradict the data, and the law of cause and effect. I've just explained to you why, out of their Golden Age, why you don't find Muslims getting Nobel Prizes in science. You cannot be a scientist and not believe in cause and effect. You just can't. Won't work. Now then, the Christians did all of the vaunted translation of the Golden Age text, and get this, we're told that this was such a great peak of learning, they destroyed 90% of the books. And we're told that the remaining 10% they preserved is like, oh, this was the Golden Age. Oh, we live in eternal gratitude to the Muslims. If they had come along, we'd have had 100% of them.
That was Dr. Bill Warner talking about the Crusades and the hidden secrets. Very interesting as well, the point he's making about the classical world being being put into turmoil through the so-called Golden Age of Islam. So don't believe the secular propaganda that is being piped out these days. There were very grim times. And I thought it's a very interesting concept he's talking about, that the dark Middle Ages are partly down or partly due to what was going on in the Islamic world, and that half the Roman Empire was pretty much culled. That it was a big problem. Trade was paralyzed. People were in fear of being enslaved, and Europe was pretty much brought to a standstill through the developments which were going on in the Islamic world. It's a very, very interesting perspective. Again, I mentioned this last time around as well. Just remember, it's not the individual Muslim. It's a religion that's at fault. We shouldn't hate or project our hatred towards Muslims. On the contrary, we should reach out to them and let them know that, you know, they can have salvation and that Jesus Christ is real and that their book is not necessarily correct and the truth, that it is not the last revelation, but that the Bible is totally reliable, and that even their book tells them to read the Injil, the Gospels, as a truthful word, and it's important that we reach out to them, that we let them know that Jesus is real, you know, that he has died for them, and that if they receive him, they can become children of God and they can have salvation here. They can cross over from death to life. And that's really the message they need, instead of, you know, following a religion of death. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just want to pray for the Islamic world. We pray, Lord, that you will give dreams to the Arabs who are engrossed in Islam, that they will have dreams of you, that they will hear the voice of the Lord, and that they will experience the supernatural, to come round and to understand that the word of God is real. We pray, Lord, that you will give us a wisdom to reach out to them, and that you will give us a love to care for them, and Lord, that you will strengthen us in our endeavor to reach out with your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.